Well, good morning, everyone. We're so thankful that you could join us here at Word of Deliverance Church and be with us to hear the word this morning. I want to do a couple prayer requests before we get started. Please keep John Hiles' son, Mike, in your prayers. He had to take him to the hospital yesterday, and he's been having just some issues and things, and they're trying to get some answers. So we just really need God to move for them, and also keep Angie Brumbaugh in your prayers as she's recovering, and also for the Lord to send the resources that she needs for the help that she needs at home or the facilities that she needs, that God will just move and make those things fall into place. Also, we've had some folks that have been sick over the last couple weeks and are home recovering, so we really want you to cover them in your prayers and just believe for a quick and speedy recovery on all of that. So let's just pray this morning. Father, we thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that you hear us when we pray and you hear and answer our prayers, God. I thank you that the Holy Spirit can intercede on our behalf with words that we can't utter. And Lord, that you are moving among us in this season. Lord, that you are shifting, you are repairing, you're building, you're restoring, and you're moving, Father, and you're creating the new. And Father, we trust you in this season. We trust you with healing and health and wholeness, God. I thank you, Lord, that your precious sheep are in your hands, Lord, and that you care about them, Lord, that you nurture them, and that you bring them into green pastures. We love you today, God, and we thank you for what you're doing right now, and we thank you for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We want to thank you for joining us online this morning. And if you would like to give to this ministry, if you're wanting to send your tithes, you can send those to 116 Harvest Drive, and that's Berkeley Springs, West Virginia, 25411. You can go online to our website, wodchurch.com. Go to the donate button and you can send your offerings there. You can set them up as a one-time offering, or you can have them set up to take them out monthly. If you are feeding off of this ministry and you want to sow into it, those are your opportunities to go do so. And as always, we appreciate you, we love you, we honor you for giving, and we are touching the nations together because you are faithful in your attendance, in your love, and in your giving to this house, and in your serving. And so we honor you for that. And we've just come out of the season of what we refer to as Easter. And, you know, we've talked about the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus, and there's so much that happens in that story. There's so much, you know, it's a three-day event that we will be to the years figuring out everything that happened in those 3 days and three nights. But I'm thankful today that we serve a victorious Lord. He is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. He is on the throne. He is faithful and true. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And that's where our hope and our strength comes from today. And so the power of the crucifixion, the power of the burial, and the power of the resurrection, I want to say to you today, challenge you in this season, rise up. Let's not waste this time of reformation. Let's not waste this time of vision. And let's allow God to speak creativity into our minds, into our hearts. There are songs to be written, books to be written, programs to be set in place. There are things that God wants to do, I believe, in this season. And I think one of the things that we don't want to do is to fall in the trap of just trying to keep everything the same way it was when God is trying to take us to the next level. Amen. And so I want us to be challenged in our heart. I want us to be challenged in our mind. And I want you to pray and ask God what he wants to do in you, in your home, and in our church, and in our community in this next season. Because I believe truly that Word of Deliverance is a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. And we are set there for such a time as this. And, you know, that's the scripture. But I truly believe that we are a city. and that city, he said, what man would light a candle and put it under a bushel? But I believe God wants to take off the baskets and the bushels and let the light shine out of this city and every city in our community. And I believe every church can be a beacon and a ray of hope in our communities and what God would want us to do. And so I want to go this morning, the story after the resurrection, probably one of the favorite stories of mine of part of the resurrection story is the Emmaus journey. And so I want to go to Luke chapter 24 today. And the title of my sermon today is The Village People. So we're going to talk about the village people today. And you'll see why in just a minute. But I want to read out of the Amplified Bible in Luke chapter 24. And we're going to start at verse 13. And remember that this is after the crucifixion. This is after the burial. This is after it's Sunday, you know, the tomb, the season of the tomb. It's after the women have been to the tomb and to come back and tell some of those that what they have seen. How many know we preached a couple Sundays ago for Easter and we said that the Spice Girls were at the tomb? And so I love the Spice Girls. They did not come to the tomb empty-handed. They came with spices and oils and fragrances in their hand to face the situation that they thought they were going to face. And they came to anoint a dead body. And I think one of the things that we're trying to do in this season is to anoint things that God is moving on from. So the Spice Girls, those who understand the power of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, don't come to a situation that seems like it's dark or in despair, empty-handed. Let me just tell you, in this last season that we've walked in, the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit has kept me moving forward and ministering and taking step by step, Lord, what is your Spirit leading us to do? We don't function outside of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Let me know that Jesus said, I and my Father will come and take up our abode in you. And that same Spirit, come on somebody, that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, and it will quicken and make alive your mortal body. That same resurrecting power that raised Christ from the dead, that's power. That's power. That's anointing. That same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, it dwells in you. Whether you feel like it this morning or not, that Spirit dwells in you, and it can quicken right now and make alive your mortal body. So I don't know where you're at watching this service this morning, but if you are sick, it can quicken your mortal body. If you are hurting, if you're in pain, if you're having fevers, if you had a diagnosis and a sickness, I speak and declare right now in Jesus' name that that quickening, anointing power of the Holy Spirit can stir right now and come alive and bring healing in your mortal body. Hallelujah. And so I speak that over you this morning. Just receive it wherever you are and say, Lord, I receive your healing. I receive your anointing. I receive your power in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And I send a word out to the Harvey family and to Francis and Miss Wilden, all of those who are sick this morning, all of those that are having troubles with fevers and things like that, to Mike and everyone under the sound of my voice, we declare that the quickening Spirit of the Holy Ghost right now is stirring and making alive your mortal body. Amen. Hallelujah. That's the anointing and the spice that we flow in. And from that place, the women went back from the tomb and began to say, he is not there. He is indeed risen. Jesus had spoke to the disciples and said, dwell in Jerusalem, because in 3 days, he said, I'm going to be handed over into the hands of sinful men to be crucified and buried. He said, but on the third day, I will rise again. So I want to ask you this morning where you are in your journey from the cross. Because, you know, we've had that encounter, that experience where we experience the cross. We experience the forgiveness of Jesus at the cross. We experience the blood that can take us and his red blood that can make us white as snow. And we know what it's like to have an encounter and say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I receive you. But when that happens, how many know the journey from the cross to the tomb, to the resurrection, and then in the journey where we walk out what we have received, what we have seen, and what has just happened. How many know sometimes in the journey is where we learn to know the heart of God and to know the heart of our Savior. So in Luke chapter 24 and verse 13 through 35 in the Amplified, it says, and then that very day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. It's a 7-mile journey. And they were walking with each other about all these things which had taken place while they were talking and discussing it. Jesus himself came up and began walking with them. But their eyes were miraculously prevented from recognizing him. Then Jesus asked them, what are you discussing with one another as you walk along? And they stood still, looking brokenhearted. One of them, named Cleopas, answered him, are you the only stranger visiting Jerusalem who was unaware of the things which have happened here in these recent days? Jesus asked, what things? And they replied, the things about Jesus of Nazareth. Now remember, they're talking to Jesus. And said, are you a stranger? Don't you know what happened in Jerusalem? And Jesus simply looks at them and says, what things? What really did happen in Jerusalem in 3 days, in 3 nights? What really was accomplished at the cross in these last things? No, disciples, tell me what things took place. And they replied, the things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, powerful in deed and word in the sight of God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death. And they crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel and set our nation free. Indeed, besides all this, it is the third day since these things happened. You know, as I read that scripture there, it says we had put all of our hopes in Jesus. We thought he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. We thought he was the one who was going to fix our nation or make our nation free. And he says, and indeed, besides all this, it is the third day since these things happened. And also some of the women among us shocked us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and they did not find his body. Then they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just exactly as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then Jesus said to them, O foolish men, and slow of heart to trust and believe in everything that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and only then to enter his glory? Then beginning with Moses and throughout all the writings of the prophets, he explained and interpreted for them the things referring to himself found in all the scriptures. Then they approached the village where they were going, and he acted as if he were going to go on farther. But they urged him not to go on, saying, stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day has just about ended. So he went inside to stay with them, and it happened that as he reclined at the table with them, he took the bread, and he blessed the bread, and he broke the bread, and he began giving it to them. Then their eyes were suddenly opened by God, and they clearly recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to one another, were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking with us on the road and opening the scriptures to us? They got up that very hour and went back to Jerusalem and found the 11 apostles gathered together and those who were with them, saying, the Lord has really risen and he has appeared to Simon Peter. They began describing in detail what had happened on the road and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. So here we are. We have Cleopas and an unnamed disciple. We don't know who it was. It could have been Cleopas's wife because she had been at the tomb, had been one of the Spice Girls. We don't know who the disciple was. Obviously, it doesn't matter. But they're on their journey from Jerusalem back to Emmaus, back home, back to their village. They were the people from the village of Emmaus. And so as they're on their journey back home, the scripture says they were heartbroken. They were disappointed. They were without hope. They were full of questions. They were trying to figure out this whole scenario. We thought that he was the one that was going to redeem Israel and save our nation. How many have had a prayer in to God about saving our nation? And so we are trusting God to save our nation. But how many know God wants to put into the hands of his people the ability to save a nation? How do you save a nation? You start by saving one person at a time, sharing the gospel and the message of the cross with one person at a time. Save your house, save your family, save your community, and let God save our nation through us. But they're on the journey and they're walking and their hearts are broken and they're disappointed, the scripture says. And Jesus comes along beside them in their journey. And I want to say to you this morning, there's so many times in our journey that our hearts and our eyes cannot see God in the midst of where we are because our despair and our hopelessness have us blinded from what he's doing. And so, you know, it's very important. We started out 2020 by saying that it's the year of focus. And having 2020 vision, having vision and focus, and so in that year, sometimes it was easy to lose our focus on God. But if you didn't keep your focus on God, your heart was broken, or you was in despair, or you may have been downcast or downhearted or disillusioned. But how many know God was speaking to them? And it says they did not recognize him in the journey. And hindsight's 20/20. You know, there's sometimes when we can look back and say, oh God, okay, I see what you're doing now. But when you're in the middle of it or you're having crisis, you don't always see God in the middle of it and say, God, where are you? What are you doing? What he's saying is, I'm right here, but you can't see me because your focus is not on me. Your focus is on your disappointment. Your focus is on what's happening around you. Your focus is on other people's action. Your focus is on the mistreatment. Your focus is what the religious folk just did to Jesus. Your focus is on a tomb with a stone in front of it. And so they couldn't see him in their journey. They did not recognize him. But how many know in our journey is where we go from the cross? Our experience with salvation, like we all know how powerful that moment of salvation when we experience Jesus at the cross. But how many know it's moving on from the cross where we experience that intimate place, that one-on-one encounter. And I was trying to think this morning as I was, meditating on the scripture and what I wanted to share this morning of places in the Bible where Jesus had just a one-on-one conversation with people. And there's not a lot of places, and you know, he drew the disciples together, his little cabinet members, his little group of people that, you know, he was with most of the time. But how many know there wasn't a lot of time for Jesus just to have one-on-one conversation with people? Amen. But for Cleopas and another disciple to have Jesus all to themselves for a moment in the journey, that's an intimate place. That's a place where they could pour their heart out to him, where they could ask the questions, where they could try to find Jesus in the midst of this. And I love the story because they say to Jesus, are you a stranger in Jerusalem? Are you the only one that doesn't know what just happened in Jerusalem? How Jesus was delivered into the hands of sinful men, and he was falsely accused, and he was accused of blasphemy. And then they gave him the choice to let Jesus go or Barabbas, and they let the criminal go, the guy who was guilty of insurrection, and then they crucified him, and they beat him, and they put a crown of thorns on him, and then they, you know, they hung him on the tree and the cross, and then they buried him in a tomb. And are you the only one that doesn't know this story? And I don't know about you, but probably Jesus has a sense of humor. I think somewhere in this thing he had to giggle a little bit and say, no, guys, tell me, what exactly did happen? What things happened in Jerusalem? That God became man. That God identified with our humanity. That he came as a lamb to the slaughter. That he was the virgin birth that was given, the Emmanuel, God with us. The very God who breathed breath into man, and man became a living soul, gave his last breath so that man could take their first breath again. No, guys, tell me what really did happen in Jerusalem in these last 3 days. And the scripture says that he began with Moses and began to reveal all things concerning himself. Cleopas and the other disciple were from a village called Emmaus. And I want to talk about the village people a little bit this morning. These villagers, they went back to what they knew. They were heading back home. They were in a place in journey from what had just happened to what is yet to come. And in our journey of that place, there is a law. I preached a sermon a long time about being between trapezes. You know, that moment where you got to let go of this one to be able to grab onto the next one. But in between there's the feeling that I might fall. I may not get it this time. I may not grab a hold of that, and what if I don't? You know, that feeling in between when you've seen God do the miracles and you've seen God minister and all of those kind of things, and yet you're in a place in your journey about, Lord, I understand here, but I don't know what is over there. It's in the journey that God reveals himself to us. The village people didn't wait the 3 days. Don't you think if Jesus would have said, in 3 days, I will rise again, yet you'd at least waited till Monday. Let's just give him 3 days and see what happens. The village people were disappointed. They didn't recognize him because of their disappointments. Cleopas may have had his wife with him at this time. We don't know. If so, she had seen the empty tomb, but he talked her out of what she had seen. How many know when the girls came back, the women came back from the tomb and said, we have seen an empty tomb. We have seen an angel. They did not believe them. They said, and the women have said, but we don't believe them. How many know in your disappointment, sometimes you don't recognize the miracles happening because your own experience doesn't dictate that. What she had seen, how many know you can't let anyone talk you out of your own resurrection experience? The life that is in you, the resurrection life that's in you, don't you let anybody talk you out of that. Hallelujah. When he said, what things happened in Jerusalem? How many know Jesus stood on the giant's head when he hung on the cross? The word Golgotha means the place of the skull, and it quite possibly means it's the place where the head of Goliath was buried. How many know Jesus was the son of David, the giant slayer? And he slew the giant on the cross on Golgotha. The veil was torn from the top to the bottom, giving us access into the most holy place, the very presence of God. How many know in the Old Testament, in the tabernacle of Moses and in the tent, you had the outer court and the inner court in the most holy place, but only the high priest could go into the most holy place, and only at the designated time. But when Jesus cried out that it is finished, the veil of the temple was torn from the top to the bottom, giving you access into the very holy place, the very intimate place of the mercy seat of God, the blood-sprinkled mercy seat that you now have access to. We have a high priest who can be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. We have an accessible God, a God that we can cry out to, that we can touch, that we can taste, we can see. That veil was torn from the top to the bottom. Not only do we have access in, but mercy had access out to everyone. The earth was shaken. The lamb was sacrificed. Death did not have the final say. He was wounded and bruised, and by his stripes we were healed. He was the lamb led to the slaughter. Those were the things that were done in Jerusalem. And the scripture says that beginning at Moses and the prophets, he revealed to them all things concerning himself. And we've shared a few of those things already, but how many know the Old Testament is full of type and shadow of things that Jesus said when the manna fell in the Old Testament and the manna fell in the wilderness? Jesus comes along in the New Testament and says, I am. He said, your fathers had manna in the wilderness, but they're dead. It was a temporary thing. I am the true bread that came down from heaven. I am that manna that's provided for you. And so Jesus began to preach all things from Moses and the prophets, and he preached what would later become the book of Hebrews. If you want to know about the law and the prophets and what Jesus fulfilled from the old covenant to the new covenant, in Hebrews chapter 1, it says that Jesus was better than angels. In Hebrews chapter 2, he was the better sacrifice. In the old covenant, in the Old Testament, it was the blood of bullocks and lambs and animals that were sacrificed and brought in. But in the new covenant, how many know you said Jesus was the perfect lamb of sacrifice? The lamb led to the slaughter, yet he opened not his mouth. Hebrews chapter 3 says he's the better mediator. Moses was the mediator of his own covenant, of the old covenant. But even the mediator of the Old Testament did not make it into the promised land. Jesus became our mediator of a new covenant. He said, the scripture says that he's our advocate with the Father. He is our mediator. He's a better mediator. Hebrews 4 says we have a better Sabbath. In the Old Covenant, they set apart the Sabbath day. But in the New Testament, it tells us that Jesus is our Sabbath, that we enter into him and find rest. Hebrews chapter 5 through 8, he's a better priesthood with better promises. Hebrews 9 and 10, he's a better covenant. Hebrews 11, there's a better faith. And Hebrews 12, he's a better mountain. It's not Sinai. We did not come to the Mount Sinai, but we come to Mount Zion. Jesus preached to them the book of Hebrews and the whole old covenant testimony, the testament of his life. How many know, if any sermon I could have heard in the Bible, I would have loved to have heard the Beatitudes, right? And the Sermon on the Mount. And I would love to hear Jesus teach the disciples to pray. And I would love to hear the parables and all of those things. But if I could pick a sermon I wanted to hear, I want to hear when Jesus preaches about himself, the message of the finished work of the cross, and how he fulfills all the old covenant demands and becomes our new covenant fulfilled in himself. What a sermon, a seven and a half mile sermon he preaches intimately when he reveals himself to his disciples. I don't know about you this morning, but my cry right now in this season is, Lord, reveal to me your heart. Reveal to me those things that are hidden from my eyes. Reveal yourself to me in the midst of the chaos, in the midst of disappointments, in the midst of hopelessness. Reveal yourself to me in my journey, in that intimate place, in that time where you speak to me and I listen with an understanding that reveals the very heart of God. And so when they come to Emmaus, the scripture said he was going to go on, and they constrained him to come inside. Their cry was, Lord, don't pass me by. Don't go on by, but come in and dwell with me. Sit with me. Commune with me. Fellowship with me. Meet my family. Minister to my family. Those things that you shared with me in my journey, Lord, share them with those that I live with. Show them to the village that I live in. The other villagers, Lord, make yourself real. My cry in this season is, Lord, make yourself real to my community. Have that intimate time and disclose every thought about you, Lord, to every person has a good case of heartburn. The scripture said that they said, Didn't our hearts burn within us while we were listening to him? Didn't he stir our passion? Didn't he cause something to come alive inside of me when he spoke? And my cry for my generations, for my kids, for my families, for my children, for my church and my community is, Lord, give us a good case of heartburn so that our passion is stirred. Don't pass by my house. Come into my house, sit down with me, sit down with my kids and my family, and break bread with us, Lord. Take that same bread that you took with the multitude, and you took that bread, and you blessed that bread, and then you broke that bread, and then you began to give that bread. You blessed it, you broke it, and you gave it to the multitude. Lord, that same bread, bring it to my house, Lord. As he sat down with them and he began to break bread, the scripture said their eyes were open. Something about the way he broke the bread. In that same night before he was betrayed, before he was led and be crucified, before he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, he took the bread and he blessed the bread and he broke the bread and he gave it to his disciples. There's something about breaking bread together, folks, that is powerful. Like, I love the sound of camera. I love the power of media. But there is nothing that compares to coming together in the house when Jesus is present with us and we break bread together and we bless it and we consume it, but then we distribute it to the multitude. And we walk out of this place full of life. Giving bread, that we can be bread to the hungry and bread to the multitude. Jesus said, I'm that bread that came down from heaven. If any man will eat this bread, that he can live. And so don't pass by my dwelling. Come in and sit with us. Don't let me just hear a word that sounds good. Don't just preach to me on the road and it not impact me. Let it change who I am. Let it stir passion in us. Hallelujah. Village people, don't give up so soon. He told them he would rise on the third day. Don't waste your downtime. Don't approach the tomb without a resurrection mindset. How many of you know they came to the tomb with a death mindset? And in the situations we're facing right now, don't come to them with a defeated mindset. Come to the situation that you are facing with a resurrection mindset. Put it in your mind that what I see is resurrection life rising up. In your journey, let him reveal himself to you. Take the time to get quiet. You know, I was thinking yesterday, I've not posted a lot of things on media, social media. I've not put a lot of stuff out there, not because I don't have something to say, but because I'm trying to listen. And I've really had to check myself. I've challenged even my time on Facebook and some of those things. It's a wonderful tool to be able to communicate with your church and family and those who live far away. But how many know it can sometimes consume your mind that you don't have quiet time enough to even listen what God has to say because we're listening to what everybody else has to say. So God has really checked me about it, and I have not put a lot of stuff out there or even said a lot of stuff because I truly have set my heart to listen to what he wants to say. And so in the journey, we must let him speak and reveal himself. We got to break bread with our village and share Jesus with them. And then I love this because once they had had that encounter, that intimate time with Jesus on the road, they took him to their village. They brought him to their house. He impacted their house. He impacted their village. He impacted their heart. But when they got done in that place, they went back to Jerusalem. And how many of Jerusalem was full of religious folk who were disappointed in hiding, who did not know where to go from here to there? How many know the disciples are hiding out in a place of fear and wonder and wondering where this is going to go from here? And how many know, I want to say specifically to pastors and leaders and things like that this morning, this journey has impacted us. And some are wondering where we're going to go from here. But Jesus comes to them with doors closed. How many know Jesus can pass through your closed door? He passed through their closed door, and he came in, and he ministered to them, and he breathed into them the Holy Spirit. I pray that God breathe fresh breath into your sanctuaries today, into your assemblies, into your ministry, and that he gives us clear vision and open ears to hear what he wants us to do, where he wants to go, and what is to happen in this next phase of our journey. So they went back to Jerusalem and began to encourage the brothers, their pastors, the disciples, the leaders, and the message was, rise up, for the Lord is risen indeed. I mean, you know, Jesus came out of that place and spent about 40 days of intimate time with the disciples. He goes to Thomas and says, Thomas, blessed are those who believe who have not seen, but you have seen. Put your hand in my hand. Put your hand in my side, Thomas. He goes to Peter on the shore and says, Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus had an encounter with them. He spent intimate time with them. He ministered life to them because in the next phase, how many know those people were about to encounter the power of the Holy Spirit in an upper room, and they were about to set the world on fire. I want to say to you this morning, I hope that you get a good case of heartburn. I hope that your heart is stirred, that your passion is stirred, and that your focus in your journey is that you have time to encounter the intimate Savior, where he reveals to you all things concerning himself. That he begins to open our eyes to who he is, the power of his resurrection, the importance of breaking bread and assembling together, the importance of impacting our village and community, and then taking the gospel to the world. That's our mandate. That's our calling. That's the need in this season. And I want us to rally up. I really do. I want us to rally up. I want us to gather in the assemblies. I want us to come with expectation. I want us to invite folks to church. I want us to reach out to our communities. And I want us to begin to share the gospel, to break bread with them, and that they might have that same personal encounter with Jesus. Are you ready for that? Because if you're ready for that, then you must pray with me today and say, Lord, what part do I have? What do you want me to do? What are you saying to me personally in this season? What is my vision for my home? What's my vision for my church? What's my vision for my community or on my job? How can you use me, Lord, to be a light in this season and to be bread to the hungry and to feed the multitudes of those who are waiting on an encounter with Jesus? It comes by one person saying, here am I, Lord, send me. And when one person says it, and then they tell two friends, and so on, and so on, and so on. We're going to get ready to pray, but I want you to pray with me today, and I want you to believe that God is going to begin to stir and that he's going to use our intimate time. I challenge you to find your road. Find your place of encounter. Maybe it's in the woods. Maybe it's on the lawnmower. Maybe it's with the fishing pole. Maybe it's on your job, in your car, in your worship, in your home, wherever it is. Lord, speak to me and reveal yourself to me. Reveal your heart to me that I can know you in a powerful, intimate way. And then stir that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Let it quicken and come alive in me to make alive this mortal body and to bring healing and wholeness to our church, our community, and our world. Let's pray. Father, I thank you today, Lord, for your words I thank you for our intimate times, Lord. I thank you that in our journey that you show up, Lord. You've never left us. You've always been with us, but sometimes our eyes can't see you because we lose focus of who you are. Father, remind us in those gentle conversations and whispers, Lord, that you are a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And Lord, that things might not look like they did yesterday or 3 days ago, but Father, that you are taking us into a new season. And Lord, that you are opening our eyes, opening our hearts to receive you, Lord, to know your goodness, your mercy, to trust you. Lord, we trust you, Lord, in every step of the journey, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for heartburn today, that you cause our hearts to burn within us with a passion that stirs your presence and a hunger, Lord, to break bread with you. We honor to you today, Lord. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, everybody. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for tuning in to hear the word. We love you. We believe in you. And we can't wait to see you soon. God bless.